Hello and welcome to episode 170 of Enough. I'm Mike Hurley and I am joined, as always, by your host and mine, Mr. Patrick Rowan. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you? I'm excited for today's episode.
Yeah, this is, you know, I mean, this is your domain.
Spotlight on me today.
Yeah, you are the rock in the role.
It's my show, as they say.
It is
my show.
And that's the thing, right? I think that a lot of people, maybe some people get this, but I would suspect that some people out there don't, that like I just show up and I talk into a microphone and I didn't even really choose the microphone. Someone just told me, get this. And I think that was someone was you and I got it.
Yep.
Right. And that's it. I don't do any of the hard work when it comes to putting together a podcast. I really have very little like functional technical understanding of how it all works and how the sausage is made and how you end up in the iTunes store and kind of what it takes to plan it and then record it and produce it and then ship it. Like, because I just show up. And so I think that a lot of people, you know, think, oh, Patrick, yeah, you got a podcast. Yeah, I have a podcast that I show up to, but it may have my name on it and that sort of thing. But the actual work is done by Mr. Michael Hurley.
Hello.
And there's a lot of people out there that also, like me, have no clue how this stuff is done. And even though you may have explained it before, it still kind of goes over my head, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So I guess here's what we want to do. Today we want to cover, once again, how do we go about making this podcast? But I would say even more broadly, how do we want, you know, I should say, if I was Joe Blow just showing up and off the street and said, I want to do a podcast too, and I want to put it together and record it and have something to say and put it up on the iTunes store and let everyone know, hey, you can download my podcast here. Where would I even start?
So this we mentioned on last week's show that this kind of came out of a panel that you did for the Minnesota Bloggers Conference, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and once again, this is one of those situations where, oh, he's got a podcast. He should be on a podcast panel. I don't know how to do this. I just show up and I talk.
So we're going to try and maybe follow a little bit of the structure that they went through, with like planning, producing, and publishing. Well, it might be interesting to mention, this is kind of now slap bang in the middle-ish of podcasting week on 70 Decibels, because on Command Space last week we had Tom Merritt of Twit, and we spoke about his podcasting efforts and stuff there. Tomorrow on Command Space, so that's the episode 11, which we will release on Wednesday the 3rd, we've got Dan Benjamin on of 5x5. And I'm going to be talking to him.
So good. So, so good.
Thank you. So tomorrow,
that show.
I very much love that show. So on that episode, we're going to talk a bit about kind of what we're going to talk about here. So, I'm going to talk with Dan about what his recommendations are for people starting out and stuff like that. But,
well, because he has a great kind of, you know, podcasting equipment guide that he wrote up, about a year ago or so. And that was an update to one that he had done a couple of years before that, which is fantastic, I think. But
that'll be in the show notes. All of the equipment that I'm currently using, which is not what I will talk about today, came from from Dan's equipment guide.
Yeah,
the stuff that I've got here is it's sort of pro podcasting equipment.
Right, right. But why don't we can we talk about, like, you know? Okay, you know, I have zero budget. I want a podcast. Where do I start?
Right. So. Yeah, zero budget is an interesting thing, right?
Okay. How about
no, that's not a criticism. Zero budget is interesting because you have to have a small budget, right? There has to be one, but you can start this stuff with a very small amount of money. Now, a good starting microphone is the Blue Yeti. It's a good starting microphone. That's the microphone that you use.
Yeah. This is just a starter.
It's just a starter. If you want to start with a serious intent to continue, costs about $100 or so, I think. Now, obviously, that is more expensive than you would care. $140 on Amazon at the moment is the Blue Yeti. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, for this price, it's as good as you can get, and sort of vice versa. It's great for the price. Really is, like, for me, excels the price that you pay for it. But you can obviously start this stuff just talking into the microphone that is built into your Mac.
Yeah.
And with any new Mac, you can plug your iPod headphones or your iPhone headphones in to the headphone port, and it will pick up the microphone from there. So there's some real cheap ways to start. But the thing is, you need to understand that if you're recording like that, you are creating a show that is difficult to listen to. Because people need to be able to hear you. I mean, that's very important that people are actually able to hear what you're saying. And it does take a relatively decent USB microphone to do that. When I started out, I was using a Logitech headset, and our audio levels were terrible, and you could barely understand what we were saying. And it wasn't until I upgraded to the Blue Yeti that people would say, I stopped getting those complaints.
Yeah. And that kind of, I would say, falls all of. I would say that this part of it, this idea of be conscious of the listener. And it kind of starts to fall into that planning part, right?
I agree. I would like to make one other starting equipment choice for people, and that is the Rode Podcaster. Now, this is if people say to me, I want to be a podcaster now, I don't really have a, I don't have a limited budget or whatever, I'm willing to spend some money.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I tell them to get. It's a bit more expensive than the Yeti. It's about double the price. But the quality of the Rode Podcaster is excellent.
Huh. Would you say that the Rode Podcaster is the professional level podcasting mic?
Not professional level, no.
Ooh, so we're not even, we're already at about, 230, 240?
Yeah.
For a microphone?
Yeah, I mean, this is the Rode Podcaster, you are at the sort of intermediary level at this point. You're going to sound great, and it's good, but it's USB still. Mm. But if the Rode Podcaster will do you absolutely fine. I use a mic called the Heil PR40. It's considered to be the best of what it does. It's what you'll see Dan use. It's what you'll see Leo use. But you don't want that. Not when you're starting out. Because you need to have...
that is the professional level.
Yeah, and you need a lot more equipment because it's not USB, it's XLR. So you need a lot more. So my main suggestions really are the Blue Yeti and the Rode Podcaster. They are great places to start. And if you are serious about wanting to make a show... the most important thing you can have is a good mic.
Hmm.
Because people will turn on your show, and if they cannot hear you, they will turn off and they may never come back.
Hmm.
Because it's the main thing, right? You're listening to somebody talk, and if you can't understand what they're saying, then you're in for a bit of a problem. I mean, and there are other great USB mics around, I'm sure. Blue make a couple of others. One called the Snowball, which is cheaper. Basically, just if you're on a budget, just try and get the best microphone, USB microphone you can afford. Just try get a USB microphone so it's external from your machine, and move from there.
I think that's fair.
So the Snowball, which is not a terrible mic, $63. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but I mean, if you're gonna spend $63, save up the extra 40 or 50 and go for the Yeti. Seriously, I don't know why you wouldn't.
If there will, of course, be links to all of this equipment in the show notes as we're going through, I'll be adding them in so you can pick them up for yourself. Let's talk about planning. Now, what do you want to talk about in regards to planning, Pat? Do you want to talk about planning a show from the inception or planning episodes?
Well, I think it's important to have something like something to say, right? Like a podcast of just someone kind of rambling on about about, you know, anything under the sun. I don't know. It would probably get pretty boring pretty fast, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think probably essential to planning, at least in my mind, is what are you going to talk about? What is this podcast about? Why are people showing up to listen to? Why would people want to show up to listen to this? Would you agree?
Totally. Planning is so important. You know, I mean, and the level of planning that I do for each of the shows varies, really. It depends on what the show is and, for example, what the other host brings to it. But what I would suggest to you, the listener, is to make sure that you have some notes going in. Don't just keep it all in your brain because you'll forget about it all. Keep some notes. I mean, I use Google Drive to record notes and outlines. Like, for example, let's use Command Space as the example for a bunch of stuff, because that's the show that I effectively run on my own.
Yeah.
The other show, the other hosts bring a big portion to the topics. Like, very frequently, I will bring no topics to this show. You bring the topics, and then I just have a conversation.
Yeah. I I would say 99% of the time, you have no clue what that is going to be until I show up and say, I want to talk about this and I want to talk about that.
Yeah, but you have done the planning work in that regard.
Yeah. But even still, as you know, there have been times when I've shown up, it's like, I don't know what I want to talk about, right? Like, I haven't done the work, right? And I think a lot of those times it reflects actually in the podcast.
I don't know. I'll say you're one of the very fortunate people, the very few fortunate people that can just come up with something really interesting to talk about as your brain starts to work.
Yes, that's the operative word, right? Is getting the brain to work first.
So let's say with Command Space, right? So what I do is throughout the week, and especially in the days leading up, I have a document open in my Google Drive for the current episode, and I just start writing out questions. So this is an interview-based show, so I have questions. Like, I will start writing out questions that I want to ask. For example, I've got my questions here for Dan. And I will start to flesh those out, and I turn it into a sort of semi-outline. So I will have, you know, I might have one question, and I'll have questions that come out of that one. And I keep that document open and in front of me during the show, because I might need to rearrange things or add other questions in. So the document becomes a working document when we're recording. But in our topic-based shows, I do the same. So if I have a topic that I want to talk about on Bionic, or what Matthew does with Bionic, is we have a shared Google Drive document, and he writes out his thoughts in an outline. Outlining is really important. So basically, outlining in a nutshell from the way that I do it is think of something, so a topic heading or main question, as I say, and then just think of things that shoot off of that. So when you think of a topic, for example, podcasting masterclass, which is the heading that I've got to talk to Dan about tomorrow, I then have a bunch of other questions that I'm going to ask him, quite similar to what we're talking about today, as I said, about what his ideas are, for example, for equipment for people getting started and software, etc. So having an outline is really important, because the more you can plan for a show, the better it's going to sound, because if you know where you're going, then your audience will be able to follow the conversation.
So, what about those people that, let's say you're already writing a blog, and that blog is about, you know, you blog a lot about, let's just say, child care, child rearing, okay? And you want to, you know, start a podcast that is complementary to that blog. I think a lot of people basically take what should have been a blog post and make it into a podcast and take podcasts and make them into blog. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or they'll just repeat something that they've already written about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think a lot of people don't think about the fact that in most cases, your audience, or I should say, in a lot of cases, your audience is going to overlap. That certainly is true. And so by just repeating, you're essentially regurgitating information. On the other hand, there's going to be certain people, and there are certain people out there that are like, I just don't read. I just don't have the time to read. I would much rather, you know, listen to a podcast on my way to work. And there's going to be some people that they only know you from the podcast and they don't read your writing or they don't read your other work. And so I would think that part of the planning is also to try to find that balance, right? Where you are maybe jumping off of things that you have written about, maybe going into greater detail, expanding upon them, what have you, while at the same time giving enough basis for those people that haven't had a starting point from reading what you wrote about it in the first place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we've kind of done something like this before, so sometimes there'll be a post of yours that I want to discuss, but we don't just reiterate the post. You expand on it and talk about it more, and what audio does is it gives you the ability to explain things easier, I think, and it can be in more detail because you're taking up less of somebody's time in being able to talk to them rather than expect them to read and understand and such like. So if you write a blog, by all means turn it into a show, but understand that, you know, it's not just you reading your blog posts. You need to have additional content that you want to give people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in the same way, that makes it attractive to your existing readership to also subscribe to the podcast because that's where the kind of greater detail is happening, expanding on topics, going deeper on a topic is happening. This is, I think, especially effective in those cases where you might have a tech blog where you review a particular product. And then you, on a podcast, you talk even more in depth about why it is that you said this or you did this or what wasn't working about this. Or maybe you follow up on, you know, well, after I wrote the post, the developer contacted me and said that they were going to fix X, Y, and Z and dot, dot. You know what I mean? It can be your chance to kind of go beyond the page. I think in a lot of cases, podcasts are very helpful in that regard as an adjunct to a regular site. Just my two cents.
They're good two cents.
Yeah, thanks. So, all right. So we've got a plan. Okay, we have it laid out. We know what we're going to talk about, and we've gone out and we purchased a good mic.
Yep.
We sit down and in front of our computer with the good mic plugged in and ready to go. What now?
So now you got to record it.
Yeah. How do I do that? I've got a Mac and I've got a microphone.
Right. GarageBand is your friend. Comes with every Mac. There are free solutions for other things, like I believe Audacity. Is an app that people use. I have never used it for recording a show because I've always recorded on a Mac, and I'm just going to assume that the majority of our listenership are using Macs.
Yeah,
I'm going to make that assumption. I know it's not everybody, so I apologize. But check out Audacity. That's what I'm told by Windows users. It'll be in the show notes, of course. GarageBand is perfect for podcasts. It has podcast settings. There are some little tips and tricks that you should know. I created many, many moons ago a short screencast that I'm going to include in the show notes because it has a couple of little things that is easy for you to see on video that I would suggest that you watch if you want to use GarageBand, because GarageBand does a couple of very peculiar things that this screencast will help you get a hold of. And I believe I also go into an app called the Levelator there. Again, I'm not going to go into that in too much detail today either. I will always say if you have questions, other questions that deep dive in a bit more, because it can be difficult to explain this stuff without being able to go through it with someone. You can get me on Twitter. I'm iMike, iMyke, or you can email me via the contact form at 70decibels.com/contact. And I'm always happy to help with that stuff. So,
well, let me just real quick say, it even took you a little bit to kind of learn the weird quirks of using GarageBand, yes. As I remember.
Yep, it does some strange stuff.
Remember, one of the things that, like, if you go back and listen to our early shows, like about the first 10 or so, it sounds like we're talking in the largest ballroom on the planet.
Yep. That is something that I definitely address in that little screencast. Yeah,
I mean, it sounded like we were in this giant echo chamber, and it took a while for you to figure out why it was. Why was GarageBand doing that? And it turned out to be like a default setting in GarageBand that basically added ambience to everything. By default.
For some reason, Apple think that people want echo. Don't know why, they just assume that that's what we want.
So that said, why GarageBand? Why can't I just use QuickTime?
You can. You definitely can. But the great thing about GarageBand or GarageBand is it allows you to add artwork in very easily. You can add show names and stuff like that and then export it all out into presets for podcasts that Apple have created. It just makes it – they have created an app that is in part made to produce podcasts with. It allows you to edit really easily, like if you've got to cut something out in the middle of the show or you've got to change something about the start or the end. That's the real benefit of being able to use GarageBand, because it gives you those really simple editing tools. I still use GarageBand because I'm terrified of Logic. Tried using it. It horrifies me. One day I'll go back to it. But right now, GarageBand does exactly what I need, and I know its eccentricities and all of its intricacies and all such isities like that. I know it inside and out now, so I'm happy with it. So there's a question around quality in this talk. Now, audio quality is a big thing, and there's a couple of things that can impact it. Obviously, the microphone is one, and Skype is the other. So the majority of podcasts, if they're done by more than one person, are recorded over Skype. Now, you can use something like the Skype Call Recorder, which is a little utility, which is an add-on for Skype. Be in the show notes, of course. And you could also use an app like Piezo or Audio Hijack. These apps are all designed to help you record Skype calls.
Is there one that you recommend more than the other?
Personally...
And why?
Personally, I always used to go for the Ecamm call recorder, but it started going weird on me once and would randomly cut out chunks of the audio. But I used it for a long time before it started doing that, so it might have just been an OS update or something that upset it. Piezo, I've not really used too much, but I know a lot of people that have used it. And it's very simple, but personally, I think that the original is the best, which is Audio Hijack Pro. Because as well, Audio Hijack, you can use it for so many other things, but I would go with Audio Hijack personally to record a Skype call. However, I think it works, and with if you're recording a Skype call, I would then suggest to bring it into GarageBand and do the edits and stuff. You only need to worry about some of the other bits if you're recording directly into it, but you want to bring it in and do the edits inside GarageBand, I suggest, because it's the easiest way to do these things. So with Skype, you've got the connection issue, because one side, me, is going to sound crystal clear. The other side, Patrick, sometimes you make things like that. Exactly. Yep. All of these things, they happen frequently in Skype calls. And then it's about the way that you manage that. Now, I'm sure that I will have some people disagree with me. I think that on the whole, people are happy enough to deal with this if it doesn't happen consistently for a whole episode, because avid podcast listeners are used to it. So it might even just be that random drop in call quality that might happen for a couple of minutes, where you can still hear Patrick perfectly clearly, but it sounds like he's now sitting inside a glass bottle. It's a frequent thing that happens in Skype. And I think that people just gloss over these things because they're used to listening to podcasts. Your other option is for both or all of the participants to record their own sides of the conversation. So you talk on Skype, but you all record locally with something like QuickTime, send it all to one person to manage it and edit it. We used to do that. It takes a lot of work because you've got to match them up, and you've really got to make sure you match them up. If anybody has headphones that have a little bit of bleed, so you can basically their headphones don't isolate the sound, sometimes you will get somebody else's track in the background on theirs, and then that makes it very difficult to line up, because if you're more than a millisecond out, it'll sound like you've got an echo. I really don't suggest the double-ended recording, that's what it's called, simply for that reason. I did it for a long time, it was a lot of work, and it was never perfect. So I would suggest plug in to Ethernet and record over Skype. That is my suggestion, because that will stop you wanting to cry and rip your eyes out every time after you've
The world wishes there were some alternative to Skype that was better.
I have saw this a news article on The Verge recently, where the Skype CEO is talking about a new codec that Skype are working on. Actually, I've got it on the Skype blog here. They've got a new codec that they're going to be integrating without telling anyone. So they're just going to start doing it. And you don't know when you're going to get it. Nobody's going to tell you. But apparently, it will, in the near future, improve the audio quality significantly. So we'll wait and see. I look forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that I guess here's the question: could one use? Well, I guess iChat is no more, right? And Messages doesn't do voice stuff.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, Messages does voice stuff, but I'll tell you, it's not worth it. The reason that people use Skype is because Skype is the best of a bad bunch. Everything else, you don't want to bother with. It doesn't work. Skype works. And it works more consistently than anything else. And actually sounds better than anything else.
Okay. All right. Despite all of the problems that you just outlined.
Because the problems of the other solutions are much more frequent and much worse.
Okay.
So, all right. Editing. I am in the camp of not editing for content purposes unless that's part of the show. So, for example, I used to heavily edit 11 minutes in the old days. And that was because it was a comedy show and it made sense for that show. I never cut things out of this show or any of the other shows unless they're going to get us in trouble. You know?
Yeah.
So right. if somebody says something they shouldn't say, we don't edit it out because it was wrong. It might be edited out because they might have broken an embargo accidentally, which I've done before, shared something about someone that they shouldn't, or et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They're the only things we ever cut out, and I could probably count those instances on one hand.
And you don't even cut out the rare occasions where I say a blue word or two. You generally just kind of bleep those out.
Yeah, so
you don't actually cut them out.
I use an old Mac noise for that, which yeah. I take great pleasure in, especially yeah. when I get an email from somebody telling me that they thought that their Mac was playing up because somebody was going off of a rant. I just think that when you edit like that, when you cut out parts of the conversation, you disrupt the conversation's natural flow. And that a conversation, like podcasts are, have a natural flow to them. And one part of a conversation informs the next. And if you start cutting parts of it out, you are going to ruin that flow of conversation. And I think that it will make for a less than quality of your podcast. And that all comes back to the planning. If your plan is good and your outline is solid and you know what you want to talk about, you won't have to edit for content because you'll have a good plan of what you where you want to go. And as long as the chemistry is good between you and the other person or people that you're recording with, which it should be if you're going to be recording something with them, unless they're a guest, of course. Although I've never had a problem with that. But then at that point, you should be rolling with some good conversation, some good content.
So, okay. I've got my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I've recorded it. I've followed all your suggestions. And now I've with GarageBand, output this thing into an MP3 file, I'm assuming.
Yep.
And I want to put this out there for the world to be able to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I would especially love it if it could actually become a podcast, because the kind of basic rules of a podcast are such, right? It is a MP3 or other sound file that has been inserted into an RSS feed that people can subscribe to. And every time I insert an MP3 or other sound file into said RSS feed, it can be subscribed to in some sort of way, whether that be via an RSS reader, less recommended, or a actual podcasting app, more recommended. Yeah, correct?
Yes, of course. You hit the nail on the proverbial head there.
Okay, so I've got an MP3. What do I do with it now?
Before we tell you what we do with it, we have something important that we need to tell people about.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Bills to pay.
Exactly. And the way that I pay for what I'm about to tell you about is because of those fine folks over at Squarespace. So Squarespace, they provide you with absolutely everything you need to create an amazing website, blog, portfolio, if you're a designer. They have great galleries and stuff for that. And so basically your home online. Let me tell you about their galleries, actually. They do some pretty cool stuff. So if you are a person who likes to take pictures, with Squarespace, you've got a bunch of ways that you can display them. Not only do they have their social widgets where you can import galleries of Flickr photos or Instagram, your feed of Instagram, so you can choose how you want those to look, and as pictures are added into those accounts, they appear in the social widgets, the social blocks that are added onto Squarespace's pages that you know, when you want to drag those in and enable them, and you can have carousels and grid views and all that, and very, very beautiful. A real nice way to display that, those images. But also, Squarespace, with their fantastic new templates that come with version 6, which are really clean and beautifully designed and function with responsive web design. They also have ones for portfolios for images. So if you are a photographer or an artist, you can actually create a portfolio using Squarespace. And if you go to squarespace.com/70decibels, they have some examples there you'll be able to see for yourself. And you can see how you can really beautifully display your work, your artwork, using Squarespace. You never have to worry about your site going down because they have absolutely excellent integrated hosting, so you don't have to worry about that. And if you purchase one of their annual plans, which I'll tell you about in a moment, you'll get a free custom domain name too, so you can have patrickrosegallery.com all as part of the sign-up process, and Squarespace implement it for you. If you want to find out how many people are coming to visit your site or gallery, they have real-time analytics that are built right into Squarespace, so you can see all of your traffic information. There's no credit card required to try out Squarespace. You just need to go to squarespace.com/70decibels. There'll be a link in the show notes. And you can start your 2-week free trial. Squarespace is $10 a month for the standard plan and $20 a month for the unlimited plan. If you sign up for 1 year, not only do you get a custom domain name, you'll get 20% off that monthly price. And if you sign up for 2 years, you get 25% off. If you decide to purchase, you want to click enter an offer code. There's a little link on the bottom right when you're at the checkout page on the pricing screen at the end of your 2-week free trial. You want to enter the offer code 70decibels10 at 70decibels10 at checkout. And that will give you an additional 10% off whatever your first purchase is, whether it's a monthly plan or an annual plan. Or standard annual plan. So you can end up with 35% off if you play your cards right. So I want to thank Squarespace for their continued support of Enough and the 70 Decibels Network.
Yeah, Squarespace is great. I mean, so you're going to make this podcast. You're going to need a great website for it.
Yep.
70 Decibels uses Squarespace.
Yep, and you can use... So this is actually... Don't really like to tend to do this stuff, but I think it's actually makes sense. Kind of going to blur the ad in the next part of the content.
Yeah, yeah. So, why not? I mean, because if it works, it works, right?
I use Squarespace in a couple of ways. For some of the shows, I use them as just like a place where people can go, and the actual RSS feeds are generated by hosts that I will talk about in a moment. But you can also use Squarespace to make your podcast. You can use dedicated hosts, and you can point... So once you've filled out, so let's say you've opened a post and you started entering your show notes in there, you can add a link to an audio file, which will then drop in as an enclosure on the page. Oh. So I do this for a couple of shows. One notably is for Bionics. If you go to the Bionic page, you'll see it just says download. It's different to the other pages because I'm using Squarespace's inbuilt system for that. So I host the files elsewhere, give it a link, and then the Squarespace create a feed from that page, and I use that feed to go into iTunes and for people to subscribe to. I use the dreaded feed burner for that feed, just for portability stuff. But that's the way you can do it. And also, I mean, I believe that Merlin Mann does this, or at least used to do this with Roderick on the Line. You can host your whole podcast there. Because you can just, if you sign up one of our unlimited plans, that sounds like a bit of the ad. I'm sorry, but
this is great.
They're unlimited plans. They have unlimited hosting and bandwidth, so you could host a podcast there.
I mean, because that's the thing, right? Is that I think a lot of people are intimidated, myself included, intimidated by the fact that this. Seems so complicated. Well, now I've got to learn GarageBand, and now I've got to come up with some plan and right? And, you know, so here's one of my million-dollar ideas. I'm waiting for someone to just take this and run away with it, okay? This is what I want for every major city that I travel to. I want every neighborhood to have a podcast walking tour. I want to be able to say, hey, I'm going to be going to New York City, and I'm going to be staying in and around Soho. I would love to be able to download a podcast of Soho that is a walking tour that tells me the hot spots, the good spots to eat at, the things that only the locals know about. I want to know details about as I walk there from where, you know, wherever I'm coming from. You know, I want to know details about the neighborhood, about buildings that I might pass. Here's an intro. There's a mob hit in this building, you know, or something like, you know. I mean, just cool details, but tell me about the neighborhood. I want a podcast of that. But more than that, I want one for like every single little neighborhood in New York. I want one for Little Italy. I want one for, for Brooklyn Heights. I want, you get what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've long thought about doing it here. I could do one for my neighborhood in a heartbeat. And, but once again, to do something like that, you would, it'd have to be super simple, and you'd have to get a whole bunch of people to do it, right? Like, cause the best thing would be someone who lives in and knows the neighborhood doing the podcast for their neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't necessarily do one as well for, say, oh, geez, the Longfellow neighborhood here in the Twin Cities as I can here for the, Summit U, Ramsey Hill neighborhood. It just, I just don't live there, and so I don't know what the cool spots are. I don't know what the hidden gems are, and I don't know what the history of the various buildings and houses and stuff like that in the neighborhood are. But I know those intimately about here. So, someone wants to take that $1 million idea? Great. Put together a Squarespace site. Start, you know, put a call out there to, hey, do you live in a great neighborhood? Do you know a lot about it? Here's what to do. Here's the instructions for using, you know, for, you know, getting a microphone. Here's the instructions for using GarageBand. Then send the MP3 to us and we'll throw it up here and add it to the podcast feed. And then, like, every city could have its own feed, right? You know, New York would have its own feed. So when I go to New York, I subscribe to the New York feed, and it gives me the podcast walking tours for every neighborhood. I choose the neighborhoods that I want. Now tell me that's not a $1 billion idea right there.
You're full of $1 billion ideas.
I know, and I give them away for free all the time. All people have to do is make these things for me because I don't have the time.
Crazy fool.
I know. In any case, so all this gets back to, I think it's great that we just kind of bled the sponsor with the content, because there's a way to do it that makes it easy, where you don't have to know all of this complicated stuff, mm-hmm. right? All right. So now you can get to the complicated stuff.
So, right, I don't host the shows myself. I know that's something that some people do. I don't have the knowledge for that. So I use a combination of two hosts. The best host that I have found and use, and I'm going to be switching everything to very shortly, is a host called Libsyn. I've been using them for a long time. They're actually the original host that I used, and I will talk a minute about why that changed. But Libsyn, they provide you with pretty fair pricing. You only pay for the amount you upload. You do not pay depending on how popular your show is. So if you have one person download it or a million, it doesn't make a difference.
That's good.
You just pay for what you upload. So you have an amount that you can store with them a month or whatever. They give great stats. Their stats are broken down quite nicely into lots of episode downloads and maps and stuff of where people, things are being downloaded, so you can see your most popular markets and you can see what apps and stuff people are using. That's how I know that like 20% of our shows are downloaded for Instacast, which is awesome. And that's one of the reasons I love the app so much, because it is, at least in our case, bigger than all the others. I don't know how that really matches out for everybody else, but anyway, I digress. Your catchphrase. I use them. I think they're fantastic, and they're fairly priced. Now, I also use another host called Buzzsprout. Okay. Now, they're much simpler, much cheaper, about half the price. And that was why when we started to grow at quite a large rate and lots more shows to come on, started using Buzzsprout, because it reduced our costs. Now we have pretty frequent sponsorship. I'm going to be moving the shows over to Libsyn, mainly because the statistics that Buzzsprout give are, at best, unreliable. they can give decent stats, but a while ago things started to go a bit peculiar for us with some of our shows, not all of them, where the stats were quite clearly incorrect. They're reporting far too high numbers, I believe. So I'm going to move us over to Libsyn, because at this stage, from a business perspective, we need to know how many people are downloading it. If you ever want to get sponsorship, please never podcast just to make money. But if it's something that, you know, you get to the point where you think that it's going to be an option for you, you need accurate numbers, or as accurate numbers as you can get. In my Opinion libs in a best for that. But if you're just starting out and you want a simple way to host, then I would look at Buzzsprout. I used to say this, I don't even know if I can anymore, but personally I think that this endorsement still rings true. Use FeedBurner for your RSS feed before you submit it to iTunes. So you take the FeedBurner feed that this host gives you, or Squarespace gives you, or some other blogging engine. I believe there's some stuff for WordPress, but I've not used it, so I don't want to comment on it. But I think there's something called the PodPress plugin, which does a lot of this stuff, and you can upload files or point to files, and it will create RSS feeds for you. And I know that some people use that; it works for them. But you want to take the feed that you get from here, put it into FeedBurner, and then submit that to iTunes. The reason I say that is because if you ever decide to choose the way you want to host, once it's in iTunes, you cannot change that destination feed. So if you have it in FeedBurner, you can change with FeedBurner what the feed that is that points to it. Does that make sense, Pat? I want to make sure I've explained that properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So it gives sense. You a bit of portability in the future. I personally believe that FeedBurner is not going away for a very long time. They're just scaling back the features. But I personally do not see that they're going to be shutting the service down. I have faith in them enough at the moment that I'm not too concerned.
Can we mark this episode 170 for a little slice of Gruber-style claim chowder?
Yep.
And revisit it when FeedBurner goes away in about a month and a half?
It will happen one day. I just don't think it will be in the near future, right? Everything goes away, but I don't think it's going to be in the next few months like people expect it to be.
Yeah.
They've just deprecated the API for it. But unfortunately, when the day that they deprecated the API, there was a bug in FeedBurner's system where it was showing all statistics was reporting zero, so that put people into a panic. That has since been fixed, and the stats are now showing again. I would look at... Personally, I think that these sorts of hosting services are very good, especially for somebody that doesn't know how to host themselves. If you have the know-how to do that, then I don't need to help you with it, obviously, because you have that know-how. But unfortunately, that is extremely outside of my area of expertise. But there are people that do it, and I'm sure when I talk to Dan tomorrow on Command Space, he will tell me that I am a fool, as he has many times, for hosting these ways and to host it myself. But that's not really my thing. Now, Pat, we're running long, but I want to finish off with one last little point. And I can't remember whether you mentioned this on the show. I think you did, because I said about how much I enjoyed Brett Terpstra's sponsor reads.
Yes.
There's a very slight aside for sponsorships. If you ever have any sponsors, I would always suggest that you just ask your sponsor for points and not for a script, because reading a script sounds like you're reading a script and it's not very exciting. Learn your product. Get some talking points that the sponsor wants you to talk about, and then talk about the product.
Yeah. Well, and can I make an addendum to that?
Sure.
And that is that another difficulty is that oftentimes people will just take sponsorships and, just to take any old thing, right? Anyone who knows me and knows Mel Mac knows I'm very, 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 very picky about who I allow to sponsor the site, because I very much in the same way that, reading a script or whatever, I'm actually going to write a post. Like, I would write a post or a review of any other thing, sponsorship or not, right? And for that reason, it has to be something that I either use or would use, i.e. I don't use it, but because I don't have a particular need for that particular thing. But if I did, this is what I would choose. And that's kind of my criteria as to who I allow to sponsor the site. Would you say that the same is true, or the same could be a good general rule for sponsorships with podcasts?
Yep. Because,
and for the same reasons?
Yeah. Because, if I'm saying that you need to not just read a script, then you need to know the product. Mm-hmm. And also, as well, your credibility is so important.
Mm.
So
important.
We had a company approach us. I've mentioned this before, a company that likes to do bad things to elephants. They wanted to sponsor with us, and I said no. And this was at a time when we weren't really making very much money. But I knew that our listeners wouldn't like that, and you've got to think about that, I believe. Because all you have
but that if it's not a company that you use or respect, you're not going to be able to do. I mean, it would be a disservice to them because your heart's not going to be in it.
Indeed.
Right?
No, exactly. I mean, your credibility in your, you know, to your listeners is important, but also is to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to those sponsoring, I mean, I would much rather, you know, have, you know, if I were a sponsor, I said, hey, Mike, you know, I've got this great hair gel product, and I think that that geeks use hair gel. And so that's why I'm going to sponsor every geek podcast I can with my hair gel product. Now, this hair gel is actually, you know, tested on cute puppies, and we burn out their eyes whenever we spread it in, just to make sure that that we put the right warning labels on the bottle for humans. So, what say you, Michael? How about some hair gel?
You're okay.
Hair gel.
Nah, you're fine. I might pass on that one.
But see, what you're doing by passing is you're allowing me now the freedom to not waste my time trying to sell hair gel to geeks and maybe go to a mommy blogging podcast or go to somewhere where the hair gel makes sense. And you've saved me a tremendous amount of time, and you've saved me the embarrassment of you saying, okay, well, this is about hair gel, and I don't really have much to say about that because I don't really use hair gel. But they sponsor their site, and we really thank them for doing so. I wouldn't want that.
No.
I mean, the reason why the Squarespace ads work, this is a perfect example, right? This is something that you use. You use it on the 70 Decibels site. You use it on another site. Several hosts on the network use Squarespace as well. Those that haven't or don't actively use it have at least tried it. So we have a basis on which to speak, and therefore we can do a sponsorship spot that is honest and heartfelt and well read. So you were about to talk about Brett Terpstra before we went off on this tangent.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned on last week's episode about Brett's show Systematic on 5x5. And I think that even though he reads, he does it in a great way, and he quite frequently deviates from script a little, and I just think that he's very good at it. He's straddling the line well. Between a read and sort of just a personal
an off the cuff sort of description of and highlighting of the key points.
Exactly, and I just think that he does it in a good way, and that's the kind of the model you want to follow. So we are at 52 minutes.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to cover before we finish today?
Real briefly, I had a revelation a couple of days ago. And that revelation is that I'm subscribed to a whole bunch of podcasts that I never listened to. And so I'm unsubscribing from everything. I'm declaring podcast bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And I think more people should do this. I think that there's podcast guilt in the same way that some people have Instapaper guilt.
Yep.
Right? That they subscribe to these podcasts thinking, oh, that sounds great, and I really like the idea of this, and I want to support it, and whatever, and then they never listen to it. Right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay. I think it's okay to say, you know what? I'm never going to listen to this stuff. So, goodbye. I'm unsubscribing from all of it. And that's pretty much what I've chosen to do. Podcasts are really great for a lot of people. For me, I am not necessarily in an environment where I listen to them as frequently as I would like to wish, and as much as I would like to. So, here's what I'm doing instead. from here on out, I'm going to be very intentional about my listening. And what I'm going to do is use a service called Huffduffer. Now, you're familiar with this Huffduffer thing, right?
I am.
The Merlin Mann has I know, is a fan of the Huffduffer. He's mentioned on a few occasions. And basically what Huffduffer is this. Think of Huffduffer as Instapaper for audio. That is the best and simplest explanation I can give.
Yeah.
And it's great. Even if you subscribe to a bunch of podcasts, you know, and you listen to podcasts regularly, there's always those one or two things that, like, you know, someone sends you a link to this great interview with your favorite rock star, you know, or there's this particular podcast where this person you're interested in appeared on this one episode, but otherwise you're not interested in the rest of the podcast, right? Huffduffer is perfect for this because you can go to the page, and they've got a little bookmarklet like Instapaper. You click on the bookmarklet, and what the little JavaScripty thing does is it looks for any audio file on the page and grabs it and says, ah, there it is. There's the MP3. There's the piece that you want. And you can put in description and titles and tags and things like that, just like you can, you know, with the Instapaper bookmarklet that used to allow you to do all those things. But basically you can do that, and then it will throw it into your own Huffduffer feed, and then you can just subscribe to that one feed and have a whole bunch of these different things in there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it's like creating your own custom podcast feed with a whole mix of various things that you've collected all over the web. So even though I have unsubscribed from the wonderful Command Space, I will likely be listening to almost every Command Space that comes along still, because that's one of the ones I try not to miss. But what I'll be doing is instead going to the 70 Decibels website and Huffduffing it.
Great. Good. Well, I mean, I must personally say that I disagree with people who I'm subscribing from podcasts and think people should subscribe to all of the podcasts that exist. But I can appreciate the reason for why you've done it, and you've got to fit in what you can, and then it's up to people like me to create content that people want to Huffduff.
Yeah, it very well may be that I'm clearing the slate so that I can better manage my flow and be intentional about what I listen to. That said, if I find that every single episode of Command, you know, like, say I Huffduff the next 3 to 4 or 5 episodes, I'm going to say, okay, well, that I'm going to subscribe to again, because obviously that one I want to catch every episode of.
When we finish this call, this is what they call a tease in the business, I'm going to tell you the next few guests that I've booked on, and you're going to subscribe.
Awesome. So, well, I'm really looking forward to the one with Dan Benjamin. There you go.
Indeed. So people can get that at 70decibels.com/CMDSPACE. But of course, there'll be a link in the show notes to the page. Mm-hmm. Pat, I believe we should wrap up now.
We should. I hope people have gotten what they needed out of this. Any questions they had about podcasting in general have been basically answered. And certainly feel free to follow up with Mike. Not with me. I don't know about this stuff. But with Mike, if you have additional questions beyond this.
Yeah, and do that. You can find me on social media. I'm iMike, I-M-Y-K-E, on all of the services that you might want to follow such a person. Patrick is Patrick Rhone, P-A-T-R-I-C-K-R-H-O-N-E, on app.net only. Only go there. Do not go to Twitter right now, to find him.
Who knows? Who knows what might happen?
Who knows? You might be on Tent in a couple of weeks, which is another one I don't.
I already went and grabbed that name too.
I don't plan to use it, but I have the name. You can send me a message there, but I might not get to it for a matter of months.
A very long time, yeah.
Or, right, as I said, you can email me as well and go to the contact form and do that. Or go to mikehurley.net.
Yeah, that works.
You can find contact information there too. So thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Enough. I am Mike Hurley, and he is Patrick Rhone.
And we'll chat later.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friends.